Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Read for the reading of the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. If you grew up in a Sunday school house or a Christian home, I am sure you heard your grandmother or your mother say this a million times, a million different ways. Paul writing in his first letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 15, verse 33, the NIV reads it like this. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. For the next four Wednesday nights, we're going to dive into the subject, to the title, to the message, squad. Building your inner circle. Building your inner circle. You may be seated. When we hear squad, squad is the new word for, come on 90s folks, for posse. And we all have those three to four to five good friends, good people that we spend time with, that we hang out with, that we share life with, that we do life with. And relationships are so important in our life and in our world. I believe that life moves at the speed of relationships, that who you do life with literally determines and it affects the outcome of so many things. And so I believe that for everyone in here, and we've got some new believers here tonight that have been walking with God for less than a year. We've got some mature believers tonight that have been walking with God for many, many years and perhaps multi-decades you've been walking with God. But I want us all to take a stroll and a walk in the next 4 weeks, and I want us to begin to look at our relationships. Look at each person that is in our life and begin to examine and take inventory. Do they add to your life and make it better, or do they make withdrawals from your life and never make an investment? There's all types of people that we're going to dive into. We're going to dive into your friends and your associates and your companions, and we're going to dive into acquaintances and mentors and accountability, and we're going to talk about each of those and a few more, but where I really want to dive off into today is I want to talk to the church about who you're friends with at church, because it matters. When we read this text in 1 Corinthians, to get the context of what Paul is talking about, you have to read the entire chapter of chapter 15 of his first letter. When you go up just a few verses, he is talking about believers that no longer preach, nor practice, or believe the resurrection. He is talking to believers that are sitting in a church, in the New Testament church, that no longer believe in the spirit of the resurrection. Because if you don't believe that Jesus really rose from the grave, then the Bible says that that same spirit now resides in us and quickens our mortal body. If you don't believe that a real Jesus laid down in a real tomb, went to a real hell, got real keys back to death, hell, and the grave, and 3 days later the tomb was rolled away and Jesus came walking out, if you don't believe in that resurrection, you can't believe in any resurrection. So Paul is talking to the members of the New Testament church, and he's talking about the inner circle. He's talking about their relationships. If you've lived any time at all, and I don't even have to talk to the 21 and over, I can talk to the 8 or 9 year old. Parents, you remember what it was like to have your second or third grader come home in tears because their best friend last week wouldn't sit next to them on the school bus this week. That little Johnny stole their Elmer's glue. That little Sally pushed them down the slide. And so relationships from the very beginning of our life, we start seeing that people aren't always in our lives forever. And we have to understand that sometimes we outgrow them. But then sometimes we have to understand that they outgrow us. Come on now. And see, it is my decision. I want to outgrow the circle that I'm running in. I never want them to outgrow me. So this is what Paul says, and Paul is talking to the church about the church. Now listen, we're going to get into some fun topics over the next 4 weeks, and we're going to talk about your coworkers and those people that you spend time with every day. But let's talk about the people that are in church. Maybe they're not the church, but they're in church. This is what he says. Do not be misled, meaning you are on the right path, you're going the right way, you're doing the right things, but the enemy loves to use well-meaning, misguided people to mess you up. Everybody that comes to Living Way is not supposed to be your BFF. Everybody that is on your road tonight doesn't need to be an Instagram follower, or you don't need to follow them. Everybody that you pass cross paths with in the lobby is not supposed to be in your wedding. You're not supposed to sit down and have a Bible study with, or thank God, go to a restaurant and sit down and eat with them tonight after church. He says, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company. When you look at that word company, it means who you hang out with, who you take into your life for companionship. See, we love to talk about, the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's not just who you marry. That's not just who you date. That's who you run around with. That's whose Super Bowl party you go to. That's what group chat you're in. Can I tell you just right off the bat, I'm not a fan of the group chat. I didn't start the group chat. I don't want to be in the group chat. Because to me, texting is the most easy and precise way to communicate with people. And the last thing I need to do is for you to share your point, for me to share my point, and then my phone to buzz every 16 seconds for the next 2.5 hours as the other people in my group are sharing. And this is another reason. Let me just get it all out here while we're here, while you're watching. Can I just talk? If I don't recognize the group chat numbers, that means they're not in my phone. If they're not in my phone, it means I don't know them. They don't know me like that. I don't want their number. I don't have their number. And I sure as God don't want them to have my number. I've had the same number since I was a sophomore in high school, and I'm not going to change it now. But AT&T has given us, and iPhone has given us, the nice block feature. But everybody in your circle, your companions, who you dine with, who you hang out with, who you vacation with, come on now, it matters. It's companionship. It also, company means fellowship. Who you fellowship with. Now, I know that you can't pick your office mate. That's up to your boss. And you can't pick who's going to be riding with you sometimes to the seminar for work. And you can't decide all of that. But every time you have a decision, you need to let Paul's words just ring in your ears that I'm going to make good choices with who I allow to enter my life. I'm going to make good choices on who I allow to speak into my life. Can I just go there for a minute? Every podcast is not for you. Every person that is popular is not preaching truth. Everybody, come on somebody, everybody, just because they got a lot of airtime doesn't mean that what they have to say is going to benefit you. You say, well then pastor, how do I know who's right for me and who's not? Number one, you need to pray about it. You need to talk to God about it. Is this person going to add to my life? Is this someone that I want to walk down life's path with? Is this somebody that is going to add to my life? Is this person an asset to me or a liability to me? Because I don't want them to corrupt every good thing that God is doing in my life. And so I'm going to pray about it. For those of you, how many of you are filled with the Holy Ghost? Raise your hand. Oh, I'm in the right place tonight. See, the Holy Ghost, the moment you meet somebody, the Holy Ghost should begin to say, yep, this is a good person for you to spend time with. Yep, this is a good person for you to be in business with. Yep, this is a good person for you to go on vacation. But sometimes the Holy Ghost should just tell you, you need to stop this conversation and get out of this room as quick as you can. Your marriage hangs in the balance. Your children hang in the balance. Your financial future hangs in the balance. And sometimes the Holy Spirit can't be kind and can't coddle us. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has to smack us upside the head and say, run, man, run. bad company corrupts good character, good manner. Somebody say yes. This next one's tough. Company, bad companionship, bad fellowship, bad association. Who you are associated with. You know, there is literal times when I've been at a conference where I was sharing the platform with somebody who's been more married more times than I've changed socks in a month. And at the end of that service, well, we've got this banquet hall reserved, and we're all going to go out and eat, and we're going to fellowship. Not me. Why? Because I don't want to be in Instagram pictures with him. You say, well, how about restoration? How about I'm talking about what happened 43 days before the conference, and he hasn't sat down to be restored. He hasn't gone, oh, come on, somebody. I've been waiting on you guys for 7 weeks on a Wednesday night. I'm telling who you associate yourself with. Since I've become an adult, the last 20 years, you know how many wedding receptions I've skipped just because I didn't want to be associated with the foolishness that was going to go down at the reception? Do you know how many times I have declined and used Mandy as an excuse why I didn't want to go somewhere, why I couldn't go somewhere? Why? Because I did not want to be associated. Because I don't want what is on them to be perceived that it is on me. I'm living a life, I'm attempting to live a life that is holy and acceptable unto God. And when God is getting ready to pour out favor, I don't want to miss my favor because I've allowed bad company in my associations to pull me out of God's will and out of God's favor. So bad associations, fellowship, companionship, it corrupts. Oh, corrupt. That word corrupt is so powerful. We hear the word corrupt, and this is sad that we live in this day. The most that we hear the word corrupt is when we talk about politicians. Corrupt means, someone said, amen. I know, sister. I've been there too. This last few months, I've just been the corruption to destroy the integrity of. Now, I love the word integrity. We're going to get to it here in just a little bit. But when we'll get to the actual integrity of a person in just a little bit. But can I talk to you about the word integrity as it relates to building? And as it relates to this building, there's many times when earthquakes happen and a big shaking happens. And they have to call in engineers. Come on now. See, when we were putting up these new screens, we called in a couple of our buddies that have been around construction all of their life. And the question we had is can we get a lift on this stage? And both of them said, I do not think it would be wise to put something that heavy on that stage because we cannot trust the integrity of the stage. That when somebody gets in the lift, come on now, to go higher. When somebody gets in the lift to do something that they've never done before, to bring out about a new result that's never been done before, the last thing we want is for the integrity to be compromised in such a way that right when they are leveling up and right when they are rising to a new level, that what they thought was a good place to stand on, it crumbled underneath the weight of going higher. Can I encourage somebody today and tell you that God is calling you to go higher? God is calling you to go deeper. God is calling you to go further. And the last thing you want to do is put all your eggs in a basket called integrity and then have your integrity be corrupted because you are spending time with the wrong people. It degrades, it brings down, it destroys the integrity of. Corrupt means to lower morally, and I've seen this play out. I was watching this week someone on social media, somebody that I grew up with, somebody that was so hardcore Christian when we were growing up. They loved Jesus with all their heart. They worshiped God with all their heart. I've been in the altar, and I've heard them speak in tongues and cry out to God, and I saw the same person playing beer pong during quarantine and going shot for shot with his buddies. And I thought, wow, if he had just stayed here, And he stayed around people like Brother Robert. And he stayed around people like Brother Michael. And he sat under bishops preaching for the last 25 years. Where would he be? He'd probably be leading a ministry at Living Way. But instead, he allowed the people that he walked away from and the new people that he joined himself to, he allowed them over time to morally decay and to bring him down to a lower moral standard. Can I tell you that morality does not change? What is wrong has always been wrong. What is right will always be right. You cannot legislate morality. You cannot change morality. It does not change. If God loved it in the Word, He still loves it. If God despised it in the Word, He still despises it. To lower morally, this next one's going to hurt a little bit, to pervert. Bad company perverts. That means it twists. It manipulates. Man, I hate that word, manipulation. Let me just encourage you, when you find out a manipulator, get away from them. Because they will manipulate you out of the will of God. They will manipulate every good and perfect thing from God that He's deposited in you, out of you. And those that love to pervert you say, what does perversion look like in the church? What does perversion look like? It's not always sex and it's not always lust. Pervert means to change the course, to change the original intention. And the Word of God is set. It is established. But just like He did with Adam and Eve, He's still doing it in May of 2020. You get a word on Monday afternoon. You read your Bible on Tuesday morning, and then the enemy comes to pervert. But the enemy usually doesn't come at you looking like the enemy. Sometimes he comes at you looking like a friend, a coworker, a Bible study partner. Well, I don't think it really means this, and I don't think it really means that. Can I just encourage you that if people are always trying to find verses that excuse the way they're living, they are perverting the Scripture, and you need to mark them and move on from them. Why? Because my destiny and your destiny is at stake, and I'm not going to let bad company corrupt and pervert my good character. Here's another one. To alter for the worse, A-L-T-A-R, to alter for the worse, to change, never making you better, always making you worse. Have you ever had someone tell you, maybe it was when you were growing up, maybe in high school, but maybe mom or dad or maybe even a spouse has told you, I don't like the you that you are when you're with them. Come on now. What they're saying is you by yourself are so much better than when you're with them. When you're with this other group of people, you are so much better. And you know what I found? I have found that if I'm not careful, that my family gets the rest of me and the rest of the world gets the best of me, and that's not how it should be. See, there's some of you that were cussing somebody out earlier today, and then you came in here, and you've been you've been air high-fiving everybody, and you're going to go home, and you might be mean to your spouse, but oh, you're always nice to Brother Jerome when you're coming in that back door. Don't allow people to change you. Don't allow people to alter you and make you worse when you're in their presence. When I first got married, it was within probably 18 months of me getting married. I was a young guy. I was 21 years old, 22 years old. Manny was 17 or 18 years old. And one of my best friends in the world, and I didn't know it, we were hanging out, and he began to spew so much venom about his marriage. Not talking about his issues, talking about his spouse. And she's this, and she's this, and I think we're headed to a divorce. And I remember when I dropped him off at his home that night, I remember God speaking to me as clear as day, saying, you don't need to spend time with him anymore. But God, that's one of my best friends. I've known him for almost all of my life. And God says, do you love him more than you love your marriage? Because if you hang around that all the time, you're going to start thinking like that about her. And you're going to take on his problems and make them your problems. He's altering you, Brandon, for the worse. And finally, corrupt means to infect. I don't even need to preach that because we've heard that word, infectious, over the last 7 weeks, more than we've ever heard it combined in our life. That being around the wrong thing. It's why you've got to mask up in San Antonio. It's why we're practicing social distancing. Why? Because if you get too close, come on, somebody, to the wrong person that's been in the wrong place. Can I just tell you, I was telling somebody the other day, not to scare them, but to help them, that if you could see through the spiritual eyes how many demonic forces are around people every day, you would not go to dinner with them so quickly. You would not invite them over to your house. Come on, somebody. That's why the Holy Ghost sometimes has to intervene and say, Brandon, I know you're looking at the smile. I know you're listening to all the game they're spitting, but let me tell you something. There is a price that you're going to have to pay if you continually spend time with that person. Why? Because they are infectious. They've got a spirit on them that if you allow, come on now. That's why I don't allow just anybody in my house. That's why I don't allow anybody to talk to my kids and talk to my wife. Why? Because I understand what Paul was saying, that bad company and those that are around us can mess up a good thing. Can mess up a good thing. Bad company corrupts good character. Good character. Character is integrity. Integrity. Who you are, really. Not who you pretend to be. I'm going to bless somebody, and this might hurt somebody else. God never blesses who you pretend to be. God blesses who you are. You say, well, I'm not being blessed. Exactly. Because he's not blessing the Sunday version of yourself. He's not blessing Wednesday night 7:20 during worship, Brandon. He's judging me on what words came out of my mouth when I dislocated my wrist yesterday. He's judging me on how I treat my wife. He's judging me on what websites I go to. And so I can't pretend to be something on a Wednesday night at 7:55 and not live it on the other days and expect God to only look at me when I'm here doing this. And I've got to show God, this is who I really am. So you can always bless me because this is the real me. Integrity is who God knows you are. Reputation is what we think you are. You can run a good game, and your reputation of what people think of you. But God, the one that created you, knows the real you. Knows how much praying you've really been doing. Come on now. Knows how much word you've been getting into. Man, I loved it. Last month, we went through all of Proverbs with a lot of our young people. It was the Proverbs Challenge. And they say that an apple a day keeps the doctor away. I think a Proverbs a day keeps the devil away. 31 Proverbs. I've been through all of Proverbs thanks to Joe Lunds, my high school principal. He taught me that when I was 18 years old. I've probably been through all the Proverbs 50 times, but I love getting in the Word of God. I love that wisdom and that counsel that is rolling over in me. And when I talk to God, when I get in His Word, He starts saying, man, this really is Brandon. This is not a Sunday thing. It's not a Wednesday expression. He's doing this when nobody's watching. Man, Mandy's asleep. The kids are asleep. And here he is up early in the morning, cracking open Proverbs. Here he is early in the morning, spending some time praying. Why? Because I never want my reputation and what people perceive I am to be different than who God knows I am. Make sure that your private life matches your public life. Who you really are. Who you are when no one is watching. Who God knows that you are. I remember reading this a few years ago. I think about it at least once a week. You are the average of the five people you spend time with the most. That should excite you, or it should terrify you. I was thinking even again, and I think about this a lot, but I was thinking before this service that still, even at 38 years of age, my parents are in that five. Mandy is in that five. I don't count Tyler and Jaden, although they would be in the five, and I'm pouring into them, but I'm talking about the five that pour into me. Although, I will tell you that Tyler and Jaden made me a better man, made me a better father, made me a better husband. You say, how can your kids make you a better husband? Because every time I do something or say something to Mandy, I know that Jaden's watching, and she's going to try to pick somebody like me to treat her like that. And so I found out a long time ago, I want to treat Mandy like a queen so that Jaden always finds somebody and says, man, he's not treating me like daddy treated mama. I'm going to move along. And let me tell you something. God works in such awesome ways. By the time we got home on Sunday afternoon, every pot Mandy had planted had sprung up. So I take it all back. Mandy and Jesus can do anything. They can do everything. But I look at the five people in my life. And see, some of you right now are saying, well, I got me, myself, and I. And I got the Holy Blessed Trinity. That's enough. And I like the way that sounds. However, you realize that God uses people to bless you. Come on now. God uses people to challenge you. You don't know how many times that Sister Tammy has challenged me. And it's not always by a word she says. Sometimes it's about how she praises. And I'm thinking, here's a woman who's been working 60 hours a week, who volunteers for hours upon hours here at Living Way. And when that beat gets right in 4-inch high heels, she starts high-stepping in such a way that Deion Sanders in 1995 would be jealous. And so inspiration comes from every. And so I think of how many times that God has used people to bless me, that God has used people to mold me, to call me up to become a better version of who I am. And so the people in your circle, get this, the people, if you're taking notes, write these down. The people in your circle, your five in your inner circle, decide a lot of things. They decide your quality of life. You got good quality of life. You say, Pastor Brandon, my quality of life is terrible. Look at your five friends. I guarantee you they're on the same level or lower than you are. The quality of life. Your five, your inner circle, not only the quality, but the longevity of life. One of the things that I love about Living Way that nobody can take away from Living Way is we have what we call longevity. It wasn't a flash in the pan. We didn't have great church for 2 years. We've been here for 45 years. Tens of thousands of people have been saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized. We've had cancers, come on, disappear. We've had HIV and AIDS patients get gloriously healed. In the Family Life Center, people that were blind came out of the baptismal being able to see 20/20 vision. We've had people that said they would never have a baby come to an altar. The Holy Spirit work on them, and they've got not just new babies. Some of them are 35 and 40 years old now, all because of longevity. We don't care if you can be good for 5 minutes. We need you to be good forever. We need you to be great from here to heaven. It's not only the quality. It's not only the longevity. But the right people in your life, they're not only going to give you a great quality of life and longevity of life, they're going to challenge you to lift your standard of living up. Man, when I look at people like Brother Warren Inman, let me tell you about Brother Warren Inman. Brother Warren Inman, he cleans this building. He repairs this building. He helped us get all of this stuff off the stage last week so we could do this. He's up here. I passed by on Monday at like 12:30, and he's out there with the food bank loading cars. Here is a man that has longevity. Here is a man that I want in my inner circle. Why? Because he challenges me and says, Brandon, he's doing more at 70 than you're doing at 38. You need to man up right now. And there's something about the people around you. They don't even have to say anything. Just in their presence, they lift you. They challenge you. They make you. They encourage you to be better. Five people in your life. That's what I want you to do. I want you to write those five people down. You write those five people down, you're going to say, Pastor Brandon, that's mean. When you write those five people down, after you get the five people written down in your life, I want you to order them in order of importance. Come on now. Who's the best, number one? And who's number five? And then start looking for number five's replacement. You say, well, that's mean. No, if you want to stay where you're at, you can keep all five. But eventually, if you're around the same five forever, your circle is going to quit challenging you. If everybody in your circle thinks the same, earns the same, has the same level of wisdom, has the same level of authority, has the same, come on, eventually nobody in the group is going to grow. And so you have to constantly be looking at your inner circle saying, this is what I need, and I'm going to add this. I don't need this. And another thing is that sometimes you don't have to take them out of your inner circle. Sometimes God will move them. Sometimes you'll outgrow them. Sometimes they'll have a bad year, and you'll have to shift them to the side. Sometimes they're going to say something that you just say, all right, I can't ride on this train anymore. The next stop, you or me, one of us got to get off the car, but one of us is going to get off the car. Why? Because I'm not going to have you corrupt and infect and pollute and pervert everything that God is doing in my life. The way I look at it is I got 62 years left on this earth, and I don't got time to wade into the waters of foolishness for anybody or anything. I've been living this life for a long time. I put the wrong people in my circle before, and it set me back years. I put the right people in my circle before, and it's projected me and saved me years. But it all comes down, are you going to surround yourself with bad company or good company, with cursing company or blessing company, with anointed company or do it on their own company? As for me and my house, we are going to build an inner circle around us that is going to propel us to victory. Stand on your feet. I didn't want to go here, but I'm going to end with this. Jesus had his squad. He said, yeah, there was a Judas in his squad. There was a Judas in his squad. But when you look at it, you say that was his inner circle. If you look at the 12, he was in the inner circle. But if you get even smaller than that, James, John, and Peter, that was his inner circle. Guess who he never asked to pray with him? Judas. You know what Judas was good at? Money. He said, you handle the money. I got, and we're going to get here in 2020. I'm going to preach a sermon about all of the things that Jesus had that no one knew he had. Jesus had a house. There's actually scripture that talks about Jesus' home. Jesus had money. Because the only reason he had Judas was to hold the purse. Come on, sometimes you need people that are good at money, but you better have somebody that can cast out devils. You better have you a Peter that had cut off somebody's ear for you. Come on, I got some wise people, some streetwise people. They'll shank you so quick. No, just kidding. Then I got some money people. Then I got some Holy Ghost people. Then I got some people that have been married for 70 years, 60 years. They're in my circle. Why? Because that's where I'm headed. I got people that have raised incredible children. What did you do? Speak into my life. Always building my circle. I'm always looking at my squad. How can it be better? Jesus did it. You should do it too. Take inventory of your life this week. And begin to say, God, there's some people in my life that I know have kept me where I'm at. And God, I'm asking that you release them or you release me. And you're going to have some difficult conversations. But you can always use this one. It's not you. It's me. And what they don't understand is what you're really saying is, I've outgrown you. I've moved past you. My buddies from high school, they'll still hit me up. My favorite thing is they say, are you still doing the preaching thing? It's not a job. It's not a career. It's a calling. You don't quit callings. You complete them. And mine will be completed when I get to heaven. Fender, you've changed. You're not who you were in high school. Thank you for noticing. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. What they're really saying is you've outgrown the foolishness. When I was a child, I understood as a child, reasoned as a child, talked as a child. But when I became a man, when I grew, I put away childish things. Not I really put them away, but my circle changed. I want to open this altar right now. Social distancing rules apply. Every 6 feet, we're going to put you. But I want to talk, and this is not a time for you to show up and show out. There's not a time for you to lay your list on the altar and say, these are my five. The people I want in this altar are those of you that are saying, I've kind of felt stuck, and I felt that way before quarantine. I felt like I haven't grown like I thought I would in the first few months of this year, or maybe the last couple years. And you're saying, God, I'm ready for new. God, I'm ready for you. God, I'm ready for bigger, for better, for more anointed. If I'm talking, if that even remotely describes where you're at in your life, your prayer life, your personal time with God, I want you to step out of your seat. And I want you to come to this altar. And I want you to get ready because God is getting ready to bring some new relationships.